The following is Mark Meeker's talk, Simplifying Massive Changes with a Lifestyle Guide from UX Thursday Chicago. UX Thursday is brought to you by UIE and Vitamin T. For more information and for future UX Thursday events, visit uxthursday.com. That's uxthursday.com.
Yeah, so about, you know, this time last year, I was working with a large team. We were actually right in the middle of a pretty significant site redesign. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk for a little bit about some of the challenges that we've encountered kind of making those types of changes. And I'm going to be doing it a little bit more from a developer's point of view, hoping to give you guys kind of a feel for what it's like on the other side of the world. Most of the examples I'm going to use are kind of from the visual design area, but I think the issues and some of the solutions actually apply equally well to the interaction side. And so this is certainly not the first time that we had kind of done Orbitz redesign. We've done it a number of times over the years. And each time we kind of gain some insights, take on some debt, and have to figure out how to kind of move forward. And most of the time, the changes that we actually make are smaller, much more targeted. These frequent smaller changes, you know, fit better with kind of our agile culture and our frequent release cycle. But whether you're kind of doing an all-at-once redesign or just small changes across the site, you can find that that actually can be quite a challenge. And so this is kind of a common scenario that plays out a lot. You'll be sitting in a project and somebody will be looking at something and go, you know, I want to make a really small change to that button. Can you guys go ahead and do that? Somebody thinks about it and says, oh, that's just a one-line change. Sure, we'll go ahead and do that. And then they go, we can do it everywhere on the site, right? Suddenly silence. Well, that's going to impact our scope. We have to test it all. And that comes with a challenge. Those global look and feel updates, they can sometimes be the, you know, pretty large efforts, especially when you're dealing with a site the size of Orbitz. But they really shouldn't. I mean, in an ideal world, changes of consistent experience across the entire site, you should be able to make it in one place, have that apply everywhere. We see this a lot. You know, somebody will go in, they'll have a page and say, oh, I just want to change something really simple. They'll open up something like Firebug, make a couple of changes and say, see, I did it. And then want to know why it's going to take them 2 weeks. And the reality is, I think developers look at a lot of these things more like a game of whack-a-mole, where you've got the list of changes you're going to make, and you're like, okay, well, I'm pretty sure if I make this one change, it'll count for about 80%. But then there's developers that have done some one-off stuff. We're going to have to take care of that. And eventually, you finish whatever you're doing, and about 6 months later, you find a page that wasn't touched, or you find an icon that wasn't updated. Somebody files another bug, and those seem like kind of never-ending projects. And it's even harder when you're dealing with something at scale. So at Orbitz, we've got a number of different kind of product paths. We sell flights, we sell hotels, we sell cars, we sell tickets, we have train packages. We can take any one of those combinations and package them together. That ends up being a lot of code, a lot of different places, and a lot of development teams. We end up with about 15 development teams working at the same time across all areas of the site. And we don't just have one site. We actually have 6 brands around the world that we're working on. So it's not just managing one color system and making sure that's consistent and that works well. You're actually managing 6 of them. And to do it, it requires a lot of code. So we have, at last count, 37,500 lines of code. It's probably going to reach 40,000 very, very quickly. And you know, as it grows, it's harder to keep that in your head. It's harder to understand what's there, what people are doing, if they work on different floors or on different continents. And when I joined at Orbitz, one of the developers kind of gave me this little cheat sheet, and she told me to tape it on my monitor, and it was all of the primary colors and the hex codes for them, and said, well, this will help you make sure that we always keep these colors consistent. They'd just gone through a site redesign, and they wanted to keep the colors consistent. They'd paid that pain. And so, you know, we started doing it. It was working pretty well, but we were a small team. And that top color became known as Orbitz Blue. It was all over the site. And over the next year or so, we actually started seeing that Orbitz Blue was starting to come in a couple of different hues. And so we kept looking at the code, and we kept looking at the site. And, you know, we probably tripled the size number of developers, added a lot of features. Finally looked at the code, and we had 14 different shades of Orbitz, different shades of Orbitz. So developers do what developers do. Instead of looking at a style guide or a color system, they just open up a Photoshop comp. Never let developers use that eyedropper tool. and it just kind of propagates. You say, well, I mean, that's not a big deal. You know, who's ever going to change the primary color of their brand? And so the problem is that, you know, the more difficult this becomes, the harder it actually becomes to make solid changes to your users. And that cost just becomes too high. Nobody wants to hear that was just how it was built as the excuse for not being able to make some of these improvements. And so there's a couple of things that kind of lead to this. And, you know, one is lack of visibility. As teams grow, it's more and more important to have something available that everybody can leverage and everybody can look at. You know, like I said, we have 15 different teams. I have no idea what 14 of them are doing at any one time. And that's hard, and you want to have that visibility. So the chances of 15 teams, three of them probably working on something very similar, is pretty high. You can end up with one-off and duplicate code. That's duplication. That's wasted time. That's time that could be spent on something else. You know, designers see a lot of patterns. Developers see patterns too, but they aren't always the same, and that can cause problems. You can end up with lack of reusable code. And this can, you know, slowly you start seeing parts of the site kind of diverge and work a little different. And those are differences that, if they're drastic enough, can confuse users. And you eventually get inconsistencies across the site. You know, having visibility into what already exists and what you can reuse is one of the easiest ways to keep that consistency. Those inconsistencies can add up, and they can absolutely impact your user experience. And so what we need to be able to do is, you know, find ways to build these things in a way that can leverage a lot of this code and the patterns and everything that you guys are working so hard to define. We want to be able to make sure that the developers can also implement it. And certainly one way of doing that is a style guide. I'm assuming that most people here are familiar with a style guide, probably have one. And it's going to, you know, identify a number of common patterns that really starts to...